Welcome to Soundbreaker. On today's episode, we're talking to Alex Brees, who is a notable figure in the music industry. Thanks for joining us, Alex. And for our listeners who might not be familiar with you, could you please introduce yourself and tell us just a bit about what you do before we dive into it?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me, Bob. I've never been called a notable figure, so I'm,
Well, you are, my friend. You earned it.
That's certainly a heartwarming welcome. So I'm the CEO and founder of Unheard. We're a music tech company, and we are on a mission to really revolutionize the future of music promotion. You know, we've created a tool which empowers independent artists to make more effective marketing decisions. And how we do that is we help an artist ingest as much data as possible via our product. Then we have proprietary technology that turns that raw data into a series of actions that the artist can go through to complete a data-led marketing campaign.
Well, you know what? We don't want you spilling all the beans. You're going to tell us about that later, because it's definitely very, very interesting and intriguing tool that you built.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, just take us a bit back and what, you know, drove your passion to get into music business.
Yeah. So I was always passionate about music, and I ran events on the side of working full time, and I helped artists kind of gain exposure by performing live. And whilst I was doing so, I became very interested while speaking to these independent artists about other things I could do to support them. And my full-time job at the time was as a trading analyst for a tech startup. And so my role here was to help the tech startup that I worked for, which is a successful company, and use their data to make more effective marketing decisions. And actually, when I was speaking to artists, independent artists who were collecting lots and lots of information about their audience without really knowing about it, you know, they had thousands of followers on social media, they had thousands of streams, but they didn't know what to do with this information. And I had a skill set that could help me digest this information and make use of it for the artist. So that was really the birth of where this started to come from, where I started to then work with these artists to say, look, actually, I can create a marketing strategy for you, a data-led marketing strategy. Let's go and run with this strategy and execute and see if we can use it to grow your fan base and your audience, as well as performing live at these events that I'm running. And that was my first foray, really, into working in the music industry. And then what happened is I wanted to work in the industry full time, not part time. So I got myself a job at Universal Music as a global analyst.
And yes,
it was really whilst working at Universal Music that I started to develop the hypothesis for Unheard and wanted to create this automated marketing solution available at scale for artists.
If we go back a bit, starting at the university in Liverpool, you quickly transitioned into the music and business world. Can you share what drove, you to pivot your career from towards the music, you know, and entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I think when I was studying, you know, I studied physiology at university, which was very much focused on biology and biomedical sciences. And after you leave university, or once you finish your degree, you have really two options after you've studied something like physiology. The first option is you can go into research, which isn't very well paid, to be honest with you, and I'm not very studious, so I didn't really want to continue in that realm. Or you can continue to study and try and become a doctor or a dentist. And again, I wasn't very studious, and what I wanted to do, I had this appetite to want to learn, you know, and I had an appetite to want to make an impact on the world. And so what I identified was that there were certain skills I needed to work on, one of which was pitching. I wasn't very good at selling myself or a product. So I left university and got myself a job in sales. I was on the road. I got a car, I got a notebook, a laptop, and I was told to go and sell a certain product. And that really honed in on me being able to improve kind of key skills that are essential for entrepreneurship, you know, which is selling yourself and the product. And that was where I got the bug. You know, I was, like I said, I was given a car, a laptop, and a notebook. Go and sell.
That's all you needed.
That was all I needed. And that is kind of running your own business in a way. You know, I was kind of an entrepreneur in that sense, managing my own time workload. And I have the type of mind, and I'm sure you're similar, Bob. I have the type of mind which is always on the go, always coming up with ideas, you know. And for me, that just led me down this path of wanting to create something that could impact a vast number of people.
You used your unique tool, which is discipline. That's what you did. Discipline was the key in your path and success. During your time as an artist, insight analyst at Universal Music Group, You must have gained unique insights. And how did this experience shape your vision to start your own company? I mean, I know you explained it a little bit early in the conversation, but maybe now we can really get into it like more in detail, in depth.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I'm forever grateful for my experience at Universal Music. You know, I was exposed to the biggest artists in the world, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Rich the Kid, and I was working on creating data-led marketing strategies for these artists. And when I was working at Universal, I looked at, you know, new technologies that were being adopted by the industry. And what I saw was that there was a huge amount of innovation in creator tools, you know, helping artists create music and create content really, really easily. And there was also a lot of investment and innovation in the distribution space. So helping artists distribute that content to the streaming and social platforms. But what I saw when I looked deeper into the marketing space, which is the next space along, you know, after creation and distribution, when it comes to marketing, is actually a distinct lack of innovation. You know, I didn't see an opportunity where an artist could log into one central tool and promote their music on TikTok, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Spotify. And that was a labor-intensive process for an artist because that tool didn't exist. You know, and when I spoke to these artists, they were doing one of two things. One is they were employing a PR agency and spending $2,500 on some PR, which didn't really impact any of their metrics. And two is they were trying to do something themselves. So they were trying to run some ads natively on TikTok. They were trying to find some playlists to pitch to or some blogs. And that was labor intensive and, again, ineffective. You know, artists aren't marketeers. They can't be expected to do this. So this really whet my appetite. You know, this was that golden opportunity I was looking for from since I left university, where I had an idea, I had a skill set that I think applied to this idea, and I went for it. You know, I left Universal, I raised a little bit of money, and I started to work with artists to develop my hypotheses around how to run campaigns for artists, and also to then build our MVP, our minimum viable product, which was the first iteration of Unheard as it is today.
Amazing. Really, really amazing. Taking a skill and putting it to action. I like that. With creation of Unheard, you aim to address a specific challenge or challenges faced by independent artists. Can you elaborate on the core issue Unheard aims to solve?
Absolutely. And it's making more effective marketing decisions without needing to be a marketing expert. You know, we've created that virtual marketing companion for you as an artist. So you no longer have to be thinking, which audience should I be targeting on TikTok for my advertisements? Which playlist should I be pitching to? How do I create the best Spotify bio possible for my Spotify profile? You no longer have to be doing this. We do all of this for you, you know, and that's the key problem we're trying to solve here. And really, the return on investment of using our tool from an artist perspective is time. You know, you get your time back as an artist to focus on what you're great at, which is creating content, creating music, and being kind of the show person or the creative that you are.
Wow. I mean, I tell you, this is a gift for artists, really. This is something that artists needed badly. Yes, I mean, you truly find the niche and you know how to penetrate it. Unheard leverages data to aid artists in marketing their work, obviously, and their creation and all of that. Could you explain the mechanics behind the approach or this approach and how it helps artists in detail, if you don't mind? Because it's very intriguing. I want to know, actually, myself.
Yes. Bob, I can't tell you all of our secrets because then I wouldn't have a business. But I can tell you some of
it. It's okay. Some of it. For me and our listeners, who's going to be intrigued by this interview. Yes.
Okay. And so the best ways to describe this is it's two of our most popular tools, right? So I'll talk about those. Playlisting is one of our most popular tools, right? And what our playlisting tool allows an artist to do is to pitch to their most relevant and powerful third-party playlists on Spotify to land high-quality placements to reach valuable fans on Spotify natively. Mm-hmm. And how this tool works is we have a network of really high-quality playlists that we built good relationships with over time. And some of these playlists are big brand playlists like Ministry of Sound and Gymshark, for example. And we have an algorithm which applies what we call an impact score to each of those playlists. So that's the impact that playlist is likely to have on an artist's streams. We have a probability score as well, which is the likelihood of an artist landing on that playlist. And then we use a combination of calculations using these scores to feed you with the most relevant and powerful third-party playlist for you to pitch to. And then in just a few clicks, you can select a handful of those playlists and click confirm and pay, and then you complete your data-led playlist pitch. So we're doing all of that heavy lifting for you, identifying the right playlists, identifying those that you're likely to land on that are likely to have an impact on your streams, and then seamlessly allowing you to pitch directly to those curators. So that's the first bit of kind of data usage. Go on, Bob.
Yes. You know, as a man who's involved in promotion and the mechanics of it and how, you know, and finding this tool, what is the future, you think, of the playlisting, having AI being involved right now so heavily in all aspects of whether DSP, labels, music curation, but just as far as the, you know, the future of playlisting?
It's a great question, because over the last, even the short period of time that we've been doing this over the last 3 years, there's been a dramatic shift, you know, and there's no doubt in my mind that the impact of Spotify owned editorial playlists and third party yes. playlists is decreasing, right? And there's no getting away from that. And algorithmic playlists are taking over and driving consumption, you know, via Discover Weekly, Release Radar, these sorts of things. And so I feel as if playlisting is becoming less and less impactful and less important for artists. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to go away over the next few years. I think it's always going to be there in some way, shape or form. But what we encourage artists to do now is, instead of think that 70, 80% of your marketing campaign should be around playlisting and driving week one streams, 10 to 15% of your focus should be on that. You know, and the other 85%, 90% of your focus should be on, have you created great content? Is your digital health, as we like to call it, in good condition? You know, have you got a Spotify bio? Have you thought about your digital marketing strategy on social media, on TikTok, on YouTube Shorts? You know, and really spread your thoughts around marketing across different verticals rather than just playlisting. And that, for me, is kind of where the next 6 months or the future of marketing lies.
So you're already obviously seeing or foreseeing the decrease relevancy of playlisting in the market for artists.
Absolutely. You know, we there's still a huge appetite for it, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
And it's still a valuable piece to your marketing campaign. You should be thinking about playlisting, but it should be less of a thought than it was 2 years ago, in my opinion.
Would be the next thing, instead of playlisting, gaming, where artists should, you know, with new music, should focus on that, because that's, you know, gaming always been a driving tool, but now it's even more.
And for sure, you know, I think gaming's really interesting. I think things that enhance the fan experience are yes. the next big thing. You know, no longer do fans just want to sit and listen to a song. They want to engage with you as an artist in different means, you know, and that might be logging into your virtual world. It might be logging into your Roblox game and your experience.
Metaverse and all of that.
But fostering that relationship between yeah. artist and fan in a direct yeah. way, using new technology to enhance that experience, I think is, mm-hmm. you know, is certainly on the horizon.
Great, great. Good to know. Looking ahead, what are your aspirations for Unheard and its plans for the future?
Am I allowed to say global takeover, or is that too ambitious?
Hey, no, never too ambitious, my friend. Never, absolutely.
That's our lofty ambition, I would say. But really what we want to try and do is, we've been working really hard over the last 6 to 12 months building awesome marketing tools for artists. And now we're in a position where we're launching these tools. So over the next couple of weeks, you'll see new tools launching on the product. And then for us, it's about reaching as many artists as possible such that we can empower mm-hmm. the independent artist community. So that's our kind of short-term goal, is let's get these new tools out that we've been building. Let's then talk about them and get them into artists' hands. And let's see where we end up in, you know, a year or two. Hopefully we've impacted not just tens of thousands of artists, but millions of artists.
Amazing, amazing. Maybe a takeover by Universal Music Group coming soon. A big buyout. This is incredible. The music industry is known for its challenges and setbacks. Can you share a difficult moment that you faced in your career, and how did you, you know, overcame it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think, you know, as a solo founder, it can be really lonely at times. And especially when you're raising capital and everyone is saying no to you, that's really challenging, especially when you're running out of money, you know, to be really candid. And so we've had some very challenging moments where we've been getting close to that period of time where we've been struggling to raise funds, everyone's saying no. But actually, it's led to really positive moments. And what I mean by that, for example, is there's a TV show in the UK called Dragon's Den, which is on BBC. And it's a show where you can pitch your business to investors, and you get great awareness in the UK because of that. When
Oh,
you were
just
trying
like
to raise
Shark
funds.
Tank, right? Is it the
Exactly,
other version of Shark Tank? Yeah.
exactly. And we were struggling to raise capital for a while. You know, we were going through that capital raising process, and I applied to Dragon's Den on a whim. You know, because we were struggling, I just needed every opportunity possible. We got onto Dragon's Den. We pitched. We got offers for money from the investors. We were featured on BBC. I think it's BBC One, maybe BBC Two. And although, you know, that was kind of a stressful period of time, it ended up being the catalyst to us closing our fundraise, and we turned that kind of strain into a positive quite quickly. So I think, you know, yes, that's an example of a challenging time. You know, struggling to raise capital as a solo founder is really tough, but you can always turn those situations into positives, and it can change really quickly. You know, it can change over the period of a week. And so my advice to other founders, not that I'm in a position to give advice because I'm still a young kind of founder, but would be to just keep going. You know, keep going. If you
Amazing.
believe, like, keep going, and it'll happen.
Not to ask, I mean, well, I'll ask, but if it's not public information, then you don't have to answer. How much did you manage to raise funds, to get the business to the level that it is right now? If you're able to, if you allow to your investors or,
I think the public figure is a seven figure sum, is what we've disclosed, and that's what we've raised so far, you know, and we are we've just closed another round of funding, a small top up round,
Oh,
which kind of
congratulations.
allows us to invest into some really exciting areas. So yeah, a seven figure sum is what I'll say.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing. That is inspiring. In your opinion, what is the some of the common misconceptions people have about the music industry, Alex?
It's interesting because I think that when you look at the music industry, or when I looked at the music industry from the outside, I thought it was this really kind of light-hearted, you know, lots of partying, lots of fun industry. But actually, like, there's an incredible amount of innovation going on in the industry, and an incredible amount of care and hard work goes into this. And I think more so than people expect. You know, people just expect that people come into work at 11 a.m., they do a few hours work, and then they go and see a gig in the evening. You know, but that's certainly not true, and certainly not true for us. That certainly happens. You get the enjoyment as well. You can go to watch amazing artists, which is a great benefit. But there's an incredible amount of care and thought, and people that truly care about artists. You know, there's a lot of bad press around businesses not caring for artists and exploiting artists. Well, actually, you know, our view in particular at Unheard is that we put artists first. You know, and there are great examples of other big companies doing that. You know, think about AWOL and Cobalt, these sorts of huge kind of game-changing companies. But there are lots of people who have that same ambition to put artists first, work hard, and change the way that these artists are compensated and supported. So hopefully that's a misconception that we can try and change from the outside.
Good answer. As you know, collaboration is an off is often a key or a key element in the music world. Could you share a memorable collaboration story or someone that you work with that left an impact on you?
Yeah, definitely. And I could do this in one of two ways, I think, but I'll go with the way from a business perspective. So there are two people. I mean, there's lots of people in business that I've been fortunate to work closely with. You know, one is Willard Oritz, who's the chairman of Cobalt, chairman of AWOL, and he has worked. We've worked really closely together over the last 12 months, and he's left an impression on me that'll stay with me forever. You know, I've learned so much from him. We have the same mindset in terms of how we want to impact the industry. And being able to speak to him regularly, you know, I learned so much, and I have someone there who hopefully will be a guide for a long time on this journey. And the second person to mention is Mr. Easy, actually. So Mr. Easy, one of the biggest artists in Nigeria, creates amazing music, amazing content. And I was so shocked at kind of his entrepreneurial ability to do multiple things at once and building businesses, releasing music. He was such a sharp mind that that left an impression on me to think, wow, I can level up my game. You know, I need to be at this level in terms of my ambition and in terms of what I think about strategy. So these two people, you know, I feel very lucky to have these two people alongside us on our journey. Are just two to mention, but there are lots of people that I get to work with who certainly leave a lasting impression on me. So I'm very fortunate in that sense.
Well, this is great. Technology has significantly changed the music landscape. We all know that. How have the advancement in technology influenced your work and the music industry as a whole?
I think this goes back to that time element that I mentioned previously. You know, the return on investment from an artist using our product is time, you know, and the advancement of technology allows an artist to get back time to create music, create content, because actually technology can now do a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to marketing. You know, just think about an AI marketing assistant. You know, we have an AI marketing assistant live at the moment, and you can ask that AI bot a question around marketing strategy, and it will tell you how you should be releasing your music. It will give you TikTok ideas for your upcoming release. It will tell you what you should be putting in your Spotify for artist pitch. You know, so technology now can do the heavy lifting of a marketing team to some extent, and which gives you back time as an artist. And we want to continue and be at the forefront of driving that innovation and adoption of technology to give artists back that time to focus on what they're good at.
Very interesting. In your line of work, how do you stay updated to the latest trends, innovations, changes in the industry, and how important is to continue to learn?
Yeah, I think it's so important. And there are some great resources out there, you know, Music Business Worldwide, Music Ally.
Yes.
There are some awesome newsletters that we subscribe to. I also love a good podcast, Bob, so I'm very lucky to be on this one.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you.
I love engaging with podcasts that are talking to interesting people, and also not just in the music space, outside of the music space too. You know, I think there's a lot that we can learn as an industry from other industries. And so I try and get into as many different experienced people in as many different industries.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yes, it is important and it's very pivotal these days. Let's see, you know, a lot of our listeners and viewers are going to be inspired by this great interview, very motivated because of your motivating approach and, you know, and vision. And how did you tackle all of the obstacles that you came across? And how did you set up your goal and went for it? A lot of them going to be inspired, our listeners and viewers, they're going to be inspired and motivated and say, hey, you know, I want to take the same path that Chris took. So can you, Alex, I'm sorry, what did I say Chris for? Please, excuse
my,
me.
My brother's called Chris, so that's maybe it's him.
Yes. So pretty much basically, you know, what's your advice, you know, for young people or all type of people, I shouldn't say young, really. It's wrong of me because anybody can get involved in any business they want at any time. It doesn't matter. Never too early, too late. Your advice, what to watch for, what to look for, and what to go for, you know?
Yeah.
You're pretty inspiring, my friend, your story. So
thank you so much. Thank you. And sure. I feel like I always feel a bit uncomfortable giving advice because I feel like I'm so early on in this journey, but you know, I think the things that I would certainly encourage people to do if they've got an idea is try it. You know, do it. There's nothing stopping you from doing it. And I think that it's easy to have a good idea. That's the easiest thing to do. So don't get caught in the trap of thinking that you've done it when you've had the idea. Like, go and execute that. You know, go and find someone on Fiverr to build you a website. Use that as an MVP. Promote it a little bit. See if you get any traction. You know, and then if you need to go and raise some capital, go and raise some capital. Like, I truly believe that if you want to do something, you can go away and you can do it. Like, don't be afraid of that. I think risk is a really kind of empowering thing. If you can adopt risk and you can practice taking risks, then that can be something that's like is a really amazing experience. And I'd also say that if you aren't the person that wants to be taking risks and kind of trying new things, and you actually, what you really want is to get a stable job at a big corporate company, that's also great, and you should be rewarded for that. Like, I think there's different paths that people want to take, and like sometimes you hear so much about being an entrepreneur is this amazing thing that everyone should go for, and like I disagree with that. I think a lot of people don't want that and shouldn't go for that and should be celebrated for wanting a different type of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Absolutely. Everything you told us is pretty much very insightful and very interesting and motivating and extremely valuable. You know, it's all information that, I learned about and our listeners and viewers. Anything that you're working on, you would like to promote or mention that's coming up in the next month, weeks, 6 months, this year, later on year? Yes, absolutely. And how artists can get a hold of your platform and all of this. So please feel free to plug in all the things that you want to plug in. That's why you're on this podcast at Soundbreaker, to plug in and promote your work and your platform.
Thank you so much. So, it's unheardmusic.com. is where artists should go. So that's Unheard, spelled UNHURD, music.com. And on there, you'll be able to find where you can log into our platform. You can download our app via the App Store if you would rather use this product on mobile. And we have got some really exciting things that we've launched. So we're about to launch our subscription product. So you can subscribe to our product as of tomorrow. You'll be able to launch campaigns via your desktop instead of just natively on iOS via our web app, which again is launching tomorrow. And we've got some awesome AI marketing tools, which we'll be launching in the next 2 to 3 months as well. So there's lots and lots of exciting new tools that we've built. I won't talk about all of them now. I'd encourage people to go and check them out on unheardmusic.com. And also please provide us with feedback. You know, we're building this for artists. And so if you as an artist have some thoughts on what we could change, what we could improve, like, we really want to hear from you. And we have a great cohort of super users who we engage with regularly. And if you think you'd want to be a super user for us and speak to us regularly, please send us an email and we'd love to kind of involve you in that community.
This is great. Well, you heard it first from Alex Breeze, who happened to be Chris's Breeze's brother. We're giving shout out to the whole family now.
He's going to love that. He's going to love
that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, my friend, I mean, sadly, all great things have to come to an end, but I definitely really enjoyed this interview. Amazing personality. That's why you're making it. Personality goes, it takes you very far beside talent. You need that. You need that engagement personality, absolutely, and you have it.
Thanks, Bob.
Plus the mindset, which is the mindset is very, very important. My pleasure, my friend. My pleasure. Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us today. This concludes today's episode of Soundbreaker. Please make sure to follow us on socials and stay tuned for our new episode. Thanks again and see ya.
Awesome.
Yes. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to share the Soundbreaker podcast. And if you are joining us on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel. Until next time.